Okay, I'll stop doing that now. Sorry.
This is episode 129 on August 20th, 2015.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I'm Matt Hoffman.
And we're back another week. Dave in the chat room said, suck it, Android. We like our Android friends.
Kind of.
Yeah. How are you doing, Matt? What you been up to?
I am hanging in there. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you a couple quick stories.
Tell me a story.
All right. So they're going to sound like they have nothing to do with iPhone photography, but I promise you I will find a way to tie it in.
I believe it.
All right. So the first story is it's a long story, but I'm going to make it as short as humanly possible. My bank decided arbitrarily that I needed a new debit card, despite the fact that my old debit card said it expires in March of next year.
Yep.
All right. So they sent me a new card with like the little chip in it, you know, and everything. And, called the number and activated it and used it for like 5 days or so. And my old card was supposed to be deactivated on August 18th. So I'm using my new card. Everything's good. August 18th, which is this past Tuesday, rolls around and my card is declined. Right. I like went to a place, tried to get like a breakfast sandwich in the morning. My card's declined. And I'm like, what the heck? And, you know, I did all the things that you would do when your card's declined. I had them try it like 4,000 times and,
right,
you know, called and checked my balance. And I'm like, okay, I definitely have money to cover breakfast. I don't know what's going on. So I end up calling my bank and they're like, yeah, when we sent you a new card, we accidentally sent you a card with the same card number as your old card. So technically your new card is deactivated also.
Oh, hold that thought. Hold that thought.
That's
I just got a new credit card in the mail today, and it was exactly the same except for the chip. So this is good. Okay, go on.
Yeah, so basically I have to get a new card, right, with like a new number, the whole nine yards, because with the chip and how everything's supposed to be like so secure now with it, it's so secure that they can't reactivate it once it's deactivated, right?
Yes.
So they're like, well, we have to send you a new card. So I'm like, okay, fine. It's only like, it's 5 to 7 days, and usually it comes faster than that. So I'm sure I can make do. So I went to the bank, which I haven't done in ages, and went to the teller and explained the situation. I was able to get cash, so at least I have some money for whatever, you know, for the next few days. But of course, this is the week that everything I have a subscription to in iTunes is renewing. So the other day, I get an email from iTunes that, what was it? One of my subscriptions. Oh, it was Pandora. I have like the paid subscription to Pandora. And they're like, you know, there's a problem with your payment. So that subscription got canceled, basically. So now I'm back to limited skips and ads on Pandora.
Okay.
And then the next day, this is where it ties into my iPhone photography, is Animoto. My monthly subscription to Animoto is now suspended.
Oh.
And I was just about to make this huge slideshow thing on Animoto with all the pictures and videos from my son's birthday this past weekend.
Oh.
So I'm bumming because now I gotta, you know, I gotta wait till probably sometime next week and go through all the rigmarole then of changing all my payment information and what a hassle.
I wonder if you had not called to activate, if that new card would have just worked.
No, it wouldn't have. You have to activate the new card, and I had actually gotten an email like a few weeks ago asking me, this is where the story gets long, asking me why had I not activated the new card yet, because my old card was going to be deactivated on August 18th. I hadn't received the new card, so I thought it was like a scam. And I called my bank and I was like, is this for real? And they said, yeah, you should have gotten a new card. And I didn't. It turned out they sent it to the wrong address.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So they resent it. But it turned out that it still wasn't right because they deactivated it.
Oh, man. So do you have an alternative to Animoto? Are you going to try something new?
No. I haven't seen anything else that's like Animoto in terms of like the just the professional quality of the slideshows that it produces. There's really no alternative to that, in my opinion. So I could wait till next week and I'll get my subscription back and I'll make my thing. Okay. It's just I really wanted to do it yesterday.
Yeah.
And yesterday the subscription lapsed.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. All right. I got one more story for you.
Okay. Go for it.
So this evening was like, it was like incredibly beautiful. We, you know, we all got home from work and daycare and stuff at like 6 o'clock. And my wife commented how beautiful it was. And she's like, we should go outside and do something. So we went to this state park. It's like 20 minutes from our house to go for a hike.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh man, I know there's like some cool birds there and stuff. So I'm going to take my camera and, you know, I'll just take pictures while we're hiking and everything. Yeah. So I like grab my Sony camera and everything. And we get to the park and put my son in like a little backpack carrier. And we go for a hike and we're hiking by this pond. And we're telling my son like, hey, you know, let's go look for frogs. So we're walking along this pond and there was like frogs like everywhere, right? So we saw all these frogs. And my wife's like, wow, look at that one. There's like this one that was just like sitting at the edge of the water with like it's just like its head sticking out. And it was relatively close by. So I'm like, oh, that'd be a great picture. So I like, you know, I compose it and everything and I'm snapping pics. And then I pull my camera away from my eye and I look at like the back LCD screen and it said that I didn't have a memory card.
Oh, no.
So I'm like totally bummed out because this is the first time that that's ever happened to me in the 9 years I've been shooting digitally.
Yeah.
I've never left the house without a memory card in my camera.
Oh.
And I'm like so bummed out. I'm like, oh, man, this sucks. You know, because I'm thinking like all these pictures I wanted to take, I'm not going to be able to take them.
Yeah.
And then it was probably like 5 minutes later, I was like, oh, wait, I have my iPhone in my pocket. So like, you know, I couldn't really do pictures of frogs with the iPhone because they just weren't close enough.
Right.
You know, for that. But I got a whole bunch of great pictures with the iPhone on our hike today. I just don't know why. I think it was just because I had, you know, this larger camera around my neck, and it was like tunnel vision. It was like all I could think of was like, crap, I can't believe I don't have a memory card. And 5 minutes later, I was like, oh, wait, duh, I got an iPhone in my pocket. So, you know that saying, the best camera is the one you got with you. Well,
yeah,
it's the only the best if you got a means to capture the images. Yes.
Yeah, because other than that, all you have is your story and somebody can go, yeah, okay, it sounds great.
Well, it's that, and I was already far enough away from the car, I didn't want to turn around and put it back in the car, so I had to lug this camera around with me for nothing.
It's like it's like a milling stone.
Yes. So yeah, that's my stories from this past week, and I did took a lot of pictures. A lot of pictures today that I'm really excited to get edited and share with everybody, and then just a lot of pictures of my son for his birthday. He turned 2 on Sunday, so.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah. That's pictures awesome. And videos.
2.
He's 2.
Golly.
Yeah, time's flying, man.
Yeah. Well, my week was interesting. This last weekend, I went down to Savannah, Georgia, and we had a regional conference for our Southeast Rural Ranger group. And I took a lot of pictures of the event. I don't know what it is, but I just kind of get into the documentation mode whenever I'm at an event. It doesn't matter. I feel obligated to stand up and take a picture of what's going on. And I think I get that from my mom because she did that when I was growing up. We used to give her a hard time about taking pictures, but now I can go back and look at the pictures and go, oh, I remember that. And so I did that this weekend. I taught a class on social media and, you know, which ones are good to engage in and which ones you should probably stay away from just because they're not helpful. And I had our national director was there, and he sat in on one of my classes and had some nice things to say about it. So that was pretty neat. It's nice to be able to slip my phone in my pocket, pop it out, you know, ninja style, be able to take some images with it, and document, you know, the weekend. Whereas most people go, oh, can you get a picture of? I already did. Like, oh, wow, that was fast. I do that a lot. Somebody say, can you get a picture of that? And I'm like, yep, it's already done. I'm good. And they're like, oh, wow, that's fast. So I do that a lot. But I did notice something when I'm taking pictures with the iPhone is that there is a stretching effect that happens on the very edges of the image.
Which iPhone are you using?
The iPhone 6. It's and I think it has a lot to do with the lens, not the depth of field. What am I thinking of? The like a fisheye effect.
Oh, okay. Just the wide angle effect.
Yeah, the wide angle. Thank you. And it stretches it. It almost slants people's faces. Or
so
anything
it's just
else,
like a distortion.
It is a distortion, and it's for most people they won't care. But when I look at an image, I said, I took that picture, but it doesn't seem right, and there's something wrong with it. And what is wrong with it? So I opened up a couple images in Skrewit, the SKRWT. Yeah, WT. App, and I started playing around with the lens correction, and sure enough I adjusted it and I made it so that their faces weren't slanted and it looked great. And I'm like, that's it. It's just for some reason the wide angle effect on the iPhone 6 is causing the outer edges of the image to be slanted or distorted.
Well, it's nice that there's an app that can fix that. Just like, I guess it was when the 5 came out and there was all that issue with the purple.
Yes.
The purple flare.
Yeah.
And then Perfectly Clear came out with a fix for that.
Huh.
Yeah. It would just be better if those things just didn't happen.
Yeah. But, What's Apple thinking? I'm still not happy with them and the image stabilization.
Now, see, I haven't heard any issues. I guess other than you, really, with the image stabilization on the 6, I have heard that the image stabilization on the 6 Plus, because it's the optical image stabilization.
Yeah.
I heard that that was a little wonky.
Well, I think it took longer for the images to be taken with the 6 Plus because of the image stabilization being mechanical. But I think for me, the software image stabilization, I wish they can give you the choice to turn it off, because...
See, I love it because... I don't really notice it for pictures, really. I guess it's working. I don't really know if it's working or not working for photos, but for videos, I love it.
That is different, yes. Video image stabilization, I have to say the iPhone kicks butt when it comes to doing it, because when I watch a YouTube video or I watch somebody doing a tutorial somewhere, and you can see the jello effect, that is bad. That's really bad. It's distracting. And when I take a video of my kids, I want to be able to, I hold my arms as you know, still as possible, but even there I'm still shaking. But when I watch the video, it's seamless. There's no jello, there's no shake, and you know, I get compliments. Oh, did you do that on a tripod? I'm like, nope, I handheld that. And I really think that the iPhone, that feature is probably the best. I don't think I've seen an Android or any other DSLR handle image stabilization like the iPhone can. So...
Yeah, I mean, I know there's definitely, I don't know about DSLRs. I barely pay attention to those anymore, but, you know, there are definitely other cameras out there that do okay with image stabilization, like some mirrorless cameras and stuff, but I don't really know about other phones.
Yeah.
Mostly because I don't pay attention to those either.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Why do we need to? It's not like we're going to switch.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen, now I know there was something like this like a couple years ago and we talked about it. Have you seen, I think it's from Panasonic, and I'll have to look up what it's called again, but Panasonic has it's essentially a camera. It is a camera, but it has an Android operating system on it.
Oh, no, there was, I had seen something. I can't remember. It might be Panasonic. Yes.
So I'm still intrigued by that idea. Like, you know, just because I'm doing photography stuff with my phone more than I'm doing anything else.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, man, why can't I just have a camera with a, you know, with iOS on it, and I could get all my little photo apps, you know, Snapseed and Enlight and Instagram and everything, but it's a camera, none of the other crap.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah, no, I agree. Would it have a cellular connection?
You know, I'd have to read about it again. I forget how it works exactly, but yeah, I guess it would have to. It would have to have something. Well, it wouldn't have to. It could be Wi-Fi only.
Right, but, Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look at it again.
Huh.
I haven't read about it in depth. I've just kind of seen, I know, I'm aware that it exists, and that's about all I know.
Okay. Yeah, we'll look into that. All right. Let's go ahead and jump in the news.
News team, assemble!
Well, we're inching closer towards September. And supposedly, Apple will be announcing a new iPhone. So that's something to look forward to.
It better, man. Mine is on the edge of death.
Do you have to perform CPR or put in a pacemaker for your phone?
Not yet, but there are just things that are going on with it that are becoming slightly annoying.
Yeah, I hate that when you know something's on the verge of dying. That is a, that's not something that you like to have.
I'm still going to sell it to Gazelle in very good condition.
Yeah, there you go. In looking for news about the new iPhone, there's really not much out there. There's a lot of speculation. You know, supposedly it's going to be stronger. They're not going to have the Bengate issue with the S, whatever. I ran across a iPhone 6 battery case that doubles as a ring light, and I'm intrigued. It's by a company called Volta, and Petapixel did an article on them where the back of the iPhone case has a rectangular ring of LED lights. And I thought that is actually a pretty good idea. You know, we have our flash, quote unquote, lights on the back of our phone that are able to project light if we needed to. But I thought, you know, since it is not only a flash case, but also a backup battery, I thought that is a very good idea for somebody to have on their phone. And I think you, Matt, said you might have something else to say about it. But go ahead. What do you think?
All right. So it's intriguing, without a doubt. I do like there's a couple things that I think are cool about it. I do like the fact that it is a battery case. So not only does it power the flash, but it will also charge your phone.
Yeah.
Right, so that's pretty sweet. It does also have a micro USB to Lightning cable, so you could charge.
Charge both at the same time.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued, but here's where I'm at with these kind of products. I'm kind of at the point where I wish that I had enough clout in this
just to industry try it.
to get sent one to try, right? Because yeah. I did the Nova Light, and the Nova Light is cool and everything, but in my opinion, it just doesn't work as well as I would like it to, right? Right. And then the fact that you're pretty much tied to using their app with it and that kind of thing, which I suppose is the nice thing about this is that, well, actually I have no idea how this gets triggered. I doesn't really say if you have to use an app with it or how exactly it gets triggered.
I didn't see anything that would say it, but you know what? Keep talking. 'Cause I'm going to look to see if there is an app.
Cool. It's not a flash, but I'm going to lump it into the same category. I got that, what the heck's that thing called? I just bought that light box. Yes. Anyway, I forget what the heck it's called, but I just got that, which is cool. I'm not bashing that or saying there's anything wrong with it. I really super like it, but I just find that, at least for the photography that I'm doing with the iPhone, the use case for like lighting and a flash, it's like so few and far between that I'm just like, ugh.
It was the Nova Light, right?
The Nova Light, okay. Yeah, that's the one that I have.
How far did you have to be from somebody to get a good light?
You know what, dude? I have not found. I still would have to do experimenting with it. I haven't gotten consistent results with it, which I think is part of the problem. To me, it almost feels like you have to be. Like maybe it's really just meant for like if you're in the dark and you just need some light, right?
Yes.
Because it seems like it's the only way you're going to see the effect of the light.
Yeah.
Because it has like different modes, different brightnesses and stuff like that. And when I first got it, all I really wanted to do with it was use it as a fill flash.
Right.
But I couldn't tell the difference between a picture I took without it and a picture I took with it.
Ooh, that's
And I did that numerous times, and I'm like, I don't understand. I mean, I know it's firing. It just doesn't seem like it's very powerful. Hmm. And so then I would switch it to, like, you know, full power or whatever, and kind of notice that there was some flash. But I'm like, well, that seems more like fill flash in full power, and the fill flash mode didn't seem like anything was even happening.
Okay.
So
I'm curious. Like you said, you know, I'd have to pop down $60 for this to test it out. Which, I mean, to be honest, $60 for a case like this, you can charge your battery, your phone's battery with it, and have a flash. That's actually a really good deal.
Yeah, I still kind of think, like, you would have to be sure you were going to actually use it, because it's kind of ugly.
They have two different models. One of them is black, and then it has the white, the ring, LED ring around the back of the case, and that does clash. The white one, on the other hand, it is not as hideous, I would say, as the black one is.
Yes, that's true.
But I don't know if I'd carry a white case.
The only other issue I have with this is that, now, granted, I've done limited research here, but both on Petapixel's article and on seaportdigital.com, which is the company that's selling this thing, there's no sample photos.
No, there isn't.
So, I would want to see, like, you know, what they're doing with this. Like, in traditional photography, like, a ring light is typically used either with in portraiture, and that's really just to get more shadowless light, and for, like, that just that unique round catch light.
Yeah,
you know, in the eyes. And then they also serve some purpose with, like, macro photography as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like,
no, that is true.
You know, and then the other thing too is, I don't know if I'm looking at this thing right, but it looks like the flash is on the front side.
No, it's on the back, because,
You're right.
It has the camera hole and the flash. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. My bad. You're right. I was looking at it wrong.
That's all right.
Yeah. The picture of it looked like down at the bottom was the home button, but that's nothing. Never mind.
Yeah. I think that's
okay, because I was like, well, that's just ridiculous. Why would you want that? That all you're doing is taking selfies.
Yeah, that's the micro USB port. Yeah, well, believe me, there's a lot of people out there that just do that, so that, you know, they would find a way of using that. Well, I thought it was interesting. I thought it was something worth bringing up, and maybe somebody who is a sucker for buying different, I'm just kidding, who likes to buy these type things would want to test it out. I'm on the fence. I don't think I'll get one, but if somebody does, let us know, and let us know what you think, because we don't have unlimited income to be able to buy everything that comes out and test it. So, you know, if you do get it, let us know what you think, and we'll talk about it on the show. So, interesting. Well, we have a little sideshow going on in the chat room. They're talking about the new iPhone. Supposedly, there are some very reliable sources. I think they're using Forbes.com to say that, you know, all the different things that are coming out with the new iPhone. But, I'm I'm going to say that we'll probably talk about it when it comes out, because I don't know. I don't know if I trust rumors as much. Interesting.
Well, all I really care about is upgraded processor, upgraded camera, and I don't really care if that means more pixels. All I care about is just image quality.
Yeah.
And, you know, if I could get less noise in darker situations, that'd be great.
Yeah, definitely.
That's really what I want. For me, you give me those two things and I'm sold.
Yeah.
I'm easy to please.
Very cool. All right, let's move into focus points.
Hey, one more thing about it.
Go ahead.
Everyone's talking about this bending issue and about how they changed the design. It's not going to be bendable.
Right.
I think they're going the wrong direction with this.
Okay, tell us what you think.
I want a bendable iPhone. Like, I just, wouldn't that be great? Something that just conforms to your body.
Maybe.
Yeah, it'd be sweet. Yeah. Like, think of like a metal watch band, right?
Yeah.
So like you could straighten it.
Uh huh.
Right, and it's pretty straight, but you know, it also bends and form fits around your wrist pretty well. I want a bendable iPhone.
Now, would it be stretchy also?
All right, let's not get carried away.
Oh, that's funny. All right, let's move into focus point.
Focus point.
All right. If you guys are not on Facebook with our group, the iPhonography, a Tiny Shutter podcast group, you guys are missing out. Not only do we have some great images that are coming up, but also some good subject matter to talk about. And I wanted to highlight one of them, one of the topics that came up for discussion, not only because there was a lot of people that commented on it, but there's some good opinion and information out there. That if you are just now coming into iPhone photography, or you're interested in any type of photography, some of this stuff is good to know. So Judy Schumacher had posted a question in the Facebook feed, and this is it. Do you edit your phone? Do you edit on your phone or computer? And she said, I do 90% of the on the phone, despite not having the eyesight for the detail on a small screen. I edit when I want to relax or am waiting somewhere. And I was like, that's a good question. I think we talked about what we do, together as a, as co-hosts, because we can sit there and talk about what we do, but with the question being in Facebook, we get to find out from our listeners what they do also. And I think a majority of the of our listeners have an iPad, and so a lot of them said, I like to take my images and put them on the iPad so that they can see them better and be able to edit from there. It was mixed with who edits with the iPhone solely, or who edits with the PC solely, and then we had some that said they do both. But I wanted to see, Matt, what do you do first off?
Okay, here's what I do. My iPhone pictures almost exclusively get edited on the iPhone.
Okay.
With one of the iOS apps. My other pictures, like from my Sony camera and stuff like that, those go on my computer and I edit those in Aperture. I still use Aperture.
Mm-hmm.
If it's some like crazy thing I need to do with it. I have Photoshop Elements 11, so once in a great while I'll fire that up and do something in that. But I rarely need to use Photoshop. I usually just use Aperture, and then I do have like some plugins that I like to use and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't really like mix the two. Like, I don't take my Sony pictures and try to get them onto, you know, the iPhone or the iPad or anything like that. And the iPhone pictures do go onto an external hard drive so that, you know, I can access them from my computer.
Yeah.
But I very rarely do any editing to the iPhone pictures on my computer.
Okay.
Now, with that said, I can imagine that in the not too distant future, what I just told you I do will drastically change.
Yes.
Now, I intend at some point, hopefully in the near future here, to get a new computer, like a new iMac or something.
Cool.
And when that happens, I'll have a more powerful computer and I'll be doing even more editing on it. Because right now my current iMac is struggling like crazy to do all the editing that I do.
Yeah.
However, when I do get a new iMac, and it'll have the latest operating system on it, so I will no longer have Aperture. And Apple's new Photos app does not have all the features that I want to like process my raw images from my Sony camera.
Okay.
So I have to switch to something else. I have to get like Adobe Lightroom or something to that effect. And if I go with Lightroom, then I'll probably jump in like whole hog, and Lightroom does have a mobile app, which I imagine I will use.
Because it's Creative Cloud.
Yeah, exactly. So whatever my next iPhone is, it's going to be the big one. So I'm going to have the bigger screen, and you know, I could seriously imagine editing not just my iPhone pictures, but any picture on my iPhone. The apps in iOS just keep getting more and more powerful, and as the hardware in the iPhones keeps getting more and more powerful, there's really no reason why I should, you know, differentiate my photography. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I kind of see everything moving towards mobile, but I still feel like I'm a good long ways away from abandoning my desktop computer altogether.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I fell off the wagon. I do not edit any of my images anymore on my computer. I just when I started getting new computers, some of the editing software just stayed on the old ones, and I didn't move them over. And even going back about, say, 3 years ago, I started doing my DSLR images on my iPhone. Now, my eyes are good. I don't have an issue with looking at these little screens and being able to edit. Now, there is a difference between editing on an iPhone and having physical prints made. Because what you see on your iPhone does not always look exactly like on the iPhone as you would in print. So there is some adjustments you're going to have to make. I do take my DSLR images, and I do edit with Snapseed or some of the other applications that I have on my phone, and I don't see myself picking up Lightroom again. I don't do the necessary images that would require me to have Lightroom. If I had paid clients, yes, I'd pick it up.
But yeah, and the big difference between me and you in this regard is I shoot raw and you do not.
That's correct.
Having a raw editor like Aperture or Lightroom is essential, whereas with your JPEGs, you could edit anything.
Yeah, That is absolutely true. So, you know, it doesn't matter what you do. If you're new to photography, if you're new to the iPhone photography hemisphere, what you have on your phone is good. You may grow out of it and you will want to upgrade to something more powerful, or you may have all the tools you need, but you're sick and tired of using them. And you're finding that you, when you sit there on the couch and you look through your images, you open them up in the apps that you have on your phone, it's therapeutic. So there's no right way or wrong way to do it. We'll probably get letters, but, whatever you're comfortable with. Now, if you have paid clients, you may want to test both and make sure that you're using the correct tools for what you're doing. Because the last thing you want to do is, it looked great on my phone. When you send it out to get printed and it comes back and there's all of a sudden there's problems with it, you're going to have some issues. So make sure that what you're doing, print it out. It's the best test to be able to show whether or not you have great images or not. But if you don't have any paid clients, if you like doing this and you put it up on the web, working on the phone is great, and it's perfectly all right. So it's whatever you think works for you typically will work. But there are other options. And if you're on Facebook, check out that thread and you'll see some great ideas. Even in our chat room, if you were to come listen to the show live, you get some great great feedback, and it's on the spot. You don't have to wait for the episode to come out, because those guys are in there putting in their feedback. What was that?
There was a lot of it seemed like a lot of people are editing on the iPad, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. So that, I mean, we're getting to the point where a lot of our stuff is moving to mobile. And eventually, like you said, there's Lightroom on mobile. If you have a Creative Cloud account, you also have access to the Lightroom mobile application, where you can start doing things on your phone. Now, some people have a hard time with sight, and they have to have glasses, or they can't see the screen that well, but that's okay. You know, there are iPads that will increase the size of your real estate.
Yeah, and if we get that rumored iPad Pro or whatever, potentially an even bigger screen.
Not enough money in the world.
Tell me about it.
All right. Did you want to bring anything else up?
No, I think we're rocking and rolling here.
All right, let's move into post pick of the week.
Post pick of the week.
All right, this week it is Matthew's turn. So go for it, Matt.
All righty. You know, I think we're like so privileged to have such talented photographers contributing to the Tiny Shutter hashtag on Instagram. It's really a treat to look through that hashtag and see all the cool pics.
I'm intimidated.
I'm not intimidated, not in the slightest, but definitely some cool stuff. And the post pick of the week this week is some cool, cool stuff. It is from our friend, the mighty Kev.
Ah.
And I can't wait till everybody sees this picture. It's going to knock your socks off. It's basically, he stood in the middle of a road. I wonder where he's, it says he's in South Carolina. It almost looks like California.
Yeah, he's a fellow South Carolinian.
Gotcha. He stood in the middle of the road. There's these big pine trees on each side of the road. Took a picture just looking down the road, right?
Yep.
Then he took another picture on a different road at sunset. So the first picture is just like middle of the day, blue sky, you know, whatever, nice picture. He took a second picture at sunset, also looking down a road, And the trees are black, kind of silhouetted, but it's a nice sunset. And what he did is he took his first picture, and I believe he did this in an app called Union. He basically made like a box, like a three-sided box. It almost looks like it's like a tunnel.
A portal.
Over the road in his first picture, which is the one he took in the daylight. And then inside the box, he put the sunset picture. So it's almost like you're driving down this road in South Carolina, middle of the day. You go into this tunnel, and it's magically sunset. It is just wild looking. It's so trippy. It's so cool. It's extremely well done. He got the perspectives to match up and everything. It's just epic. It's so cool.
Yeah. When you sent that to me, I was like, yeah, that is awesome. Because I feel like you're going from one world into the next. Like you're stepping through some sort of not time travel, but like you're stepping into another dimension. And the fact that that box looks like it meets the road plays on that effect very, very well.
And you know what it is about it that really makes it like just so not convincing, because it's like obviously that it's not like real, right?
Right.
It's not, you know, one image, but the way he blended the roads
yes.
together, there's light on the road from the daylight image that is kind of bleeding into the
yes.
road on the sunset picture. So it's basically, it's not like it's like a straight line across.
Yeah.
No. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just, it's bleeding in. It's blended together so amazingly well.
The light from the daylight is falling in on the road in that is no longer has daylight.
Yeah. Now I'm sure that everyone that's listening to this, like on the podcast app, that's even those listening live that aren't seeing this picture are just
no,
like,
they're seeing
what
it.
In the heck?
Yeah.
Oh, they are okay.
Yep, they're seeing.
I'm sure everyone else though is wondering what in the world am I talking about. Go find the Mighty Kev Kev on Instagram. Just scroll down in his feed. It's not that far down, and you'll know instantly what I'm talking about, and you'll be wowed and amazed.
And if you're not following him, you need to be.
Yeah, he's definitely a very good photographer.
Yep, very good. That's awesome. If you want your image to be featured as post pick of the week, go on to Instagram and use the hashtag Tiny Shutter, and you will join the others that are there for you to view. And each week we go through, unfortunately we can only choose one, but the one we choose is used as our album art. So when you go to our website, you will see the image that we're talking about, and it is also a way to showcase our listeners' work, because without the listeners, we wouldn't have a show. Actually, we'd have a show, but nobody would listen. But no, no, I'm just kidding. No, we are truly blown away by what our listeners can do. And like I said, I'm many times humbled in awe of the work that is under the hashtag Tiny Shutter.
So. Very cool. I am as well. And yeah, regardless of whether anyone listened to the show, we'd still do it.
Yes, absolutely.
We would just talk at each other.
Wait.
Not to each other,
yeah,
at each other.
Yeah. Wait, what did you say? No, I'm just kidding. Oh, very cool. Was there anything else you wanted to bring up before we decide to call it a show?
No, I think we went a little long, so we're good.
Good. All right, let me do this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
That's right. Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and IM at M. Hoffman Photo.
That's right. Very good. And you can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find the show and any of our show notes that we have for the individual shows. You can find the Facebook link. You can find the Mixler link so that you can listen live and join the chat. And other things, the YouTube video that Mark's diligently been working on. You can find that all on at tinyshutter.com. So go there and you will find everything there. All right. Well, I think that should be a wrap. If you guys have any questions, send us a message on Facebook and hopefully we can get it answered. But other than that, I think we're done. So good show, Matt.
Thanks. You too.
So, all right, let's do it.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
I love it.